flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of bodies on Van Vliet. Green to Thompson.
Hot potato.
Oh, how about that to Shingoon? The Rockets just beat the Hawks in their full court press. They do it again.
Oh, goodness.
Look at this. Look by Hunter to give them the lead. Just did miss it. And then the Hawks were pressuring the ball. The Rockets played keep away. Shingoon then with the dunk. And they win it 100-96. An ugly win is still a win.
It's funny. The biggest reaction that we've been getting when we've been talking Rockets the last couple days, and it's been a fun week for the Rockets. Two wins over the Cavs, one of them on the road. Win over Boston on Monday. That was the Rockets finishing off the Atlanta Hawks last night, 100-96, in a game that got a little too close for comfort at the end. If you had Rockets minus six in that game, you're probably among the only angry people in Houston, just because they were covering for much of the fourth quarter, and then they let the Hawks sneak back into it at the very end. I was not one of those people.
We talked about this yesterday, and you pointed out, man, this Hawks game where it originally wasn't on the schedule, you just had a couple of really good victories on the road against good teams. This would be a perfect opportunity for a letdown game. And it's not even like you're looking past the Hawks or anything, just physiologically,
just the NBA,
psychologically, yeah, everything else. You got Memphis coming up.
Yep.
There were a lot of reasons where you would totally expect the Rockets to lose and probably not worry all that much about it.
Yep.
That's the really encouraging thing, is that they started off really slow. They got themselves back into it. You had to play more minutes out of guys than they typically get because of all those other considerations. And they let the Hawks back into it, but they fought their way back in the fourth quarter to hold on to the victory. I think it's just, I don't want to gush about it overly, because I feel like they've demonstrated multiple times as of late that, wow, this is a much more professional basketball team than they were even when things were going well early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you feel like you've seen some of these younger guys just kind of grow into their actual professional basketball player status this season.
Yeah, well, and I think that's an interesting point you make about, you know, factoring in the early part of the season, is I think some of what you could have said maybe in October and November when they're playing teams, like when they're playing good teams and they're playing them either competitively or actually beating them, is that the Rockets maybe snuck up on them a little bit. The Rockets didn't sneak up on the Cavaliers. Like, there's no way they did, because they beat them 2 days before they beat them in Cleveland on Saturday this week. And like, that Celtics game, I'm guessing, had a lot of hype coming into it. on Monday on the Boston side of things. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we got this team coming in that just beat the only team ahead of us in the Eastern Conference standings right now. They just swept them. So yeah. there's no sneaking up. Like these teams are ready for the Rockets, and the Rockets are punching back. That's the
encouraging thing. There's not a flukishness
thing.
To them being where they are in the standings.
Correct.
Early in the season, and you could always say, like, well, yeah, I mean, they're second in the West, but
small sample size.
I think people will point out their. I think at this point in the season, people will point out their. There's no but after. Their standings.
No.
You know, they don't say, well, the Rockets' record is this, but they just say, well, wow, the Rockets are playing good basketball.
The Rockets are good, and they're built to last, too, man. I mean, it's a young core. The guys that are the veterans that are, you know, kind of the leadership infusion. Fred VanVleet, if the team wants, is still here for another year after this. If they feel like that's the solution at point guard, is to pay him $43 million for another year next year. Dylan Brooks is here for another few years after this. Like those, I would say, you know, Van Vliet's getting $43 million a year. Dylan Brooks is getting $20 million a year. And I would say that's $63 million well spent by the Fertitta family.
Yeah.
It's based on what they've brought to this team, you know, kind of how they've helped sort of that combined with whatever they're paying Ime Udoka. Money, very well spent, I would say, for the Rockets. So they beat the Hawks last night, 100-96. Kind of an ugly win. Oh, what I was going to say coming in, the one big sentiment that we're getting, Seth, whenever we talk about the Rockets is don't do anything right now when it comes mm-hmm. to trading. And you and I had gone through some trades, some hypotheticals last week where I think I was kind of intrigued by Kevin Durant. There's a Kevin Durant proposal that some writer did. I'm like, yeah, this looks pretty good. And we talked and walked through some Steph Curry and Draymond Green scenarios last week that we were hot and cold on, whatever. People may say, guys, you guys were encouraged to do some trades last week. What's changed? And I don't think we were that hot on the Curry and Draymond thing. I'm talking more about the Kevin Durant thing. What's changed is they beat the Cavaliers twice and the Celtics on the road. Like that's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess you know. Read if you go through the Kevin Durant part of it, I guess that's the one that because the Draymond Green and the Steph Curry one just didn't make a lot of sense in a lot of ways, especially the proposals that people were throwing out there. The Durant one, that's the one where I'm more tempted or inclined to think, all right, in a 7-game series. Is Durant and his scoring ability and just his Kevin Durantness gonna be a factor in a 7-game series versus it's hard to scrap your way through defense and rebounding to a victory over a really good team in a 7-game series if you can't shoot. It's hard to do. That one would still raise my eyebrows in a good way.
It would. Now, what gets interesting if you did a deal like that? You know, if you did a deal like that. And you're trading off all those first-round picks doesn't affect your rotation this year. Trading Cam Whitmore in a deal like that, along with those picks, doesn't really affect your rotation. What gets interesting is like what happened? Does Amen Thompson go back to the bench? The guy's turning into an all-star before our very eyes.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, the Amen Thompson part of it too. It's just okay, he's been playing well for a while now, but it's just it keeps getting his resume keeps getting better and better. He's averaging a double-double. He's playing heavy minutes. They've only lost 3 games when he's started. It's rounding even more where we were a little bit skeptical of trying to bring in talent from the outside to begin with. Now I'm even more skeptical just because as we were discussing it, it was before this really hard stretch.
Yeah.
This road trip specifically is something that we were looking ahead to where it was going to be 3 really good games on a road trip. And so far, they've availed themselves very, very well.
Yeah, this feels like a big turning point in the what should the strategy be, at least for the rest of this year, when it comes to the makeup of this team. Now, ultimately, the playoffs should probably tell you what to do with the makeup of the team, because that's what matters. Like you just said, it's a great point. In a 7-game series, Kevin Durant impacts things differently than in March. When you're going on a, you know, like a 4-game road trip or something like that. So, but the overwhelming sentiment from people seems to be like, let's roll with this. Cause you're right. If you're making a trade, especially for someone that plays, that would take away minutes from Amen Thompson, then you're almost as part of that trade as something you're sending out the door is the potential stagnation of Amen Thompson's development. You know, like that's a factor in all the, like, hey, we're going to make this big trade. So we're sending out Cam Whitmore, 3 first round picks, 2 pick swaps, so-and-so's expiring contract. And then you have to factor in that Amen Thompson's minutes are going to go down probably if you bring
Kevin Durant. The other, okay, so another one that wouldn't affect Amen Thompson as much is De'Aaron Fox's name is out there, and Sacramento's shopping him.
Yeah.
Kelly Eco said what he said about a lot of these things so far. He says, through conversations with Kings officials in recent weeks, Houston Rockets officials were aware of the increasing likelihood of a De'Aaron Fox trade. But according to team sources, Houston's stance has not changed, even if Fox is indeed available. So
yeah.
they're not sniffing around De'Aaron Fox.
I wouldn't either.
They're not going around that hen house.
Really good place from here. So it would be a return to Houston, back to his hometown for him here. But I'm not wanting the Rockets to be in on any of these guys right now. Let's watch this thing and see kind of how it continues to play out. Now, they've got to make some decisions on whether or not they do any of this. The trade deadline is really early this year, it feels. I haven't paid too close of attention to the trade deadline the last couple of years in terms of when it's been, because the Rockets haven't been in a position like this before where you could have the types of conversations you and I are having right now, Seth. But the trade deadline's February 6th. Like, that's it's during the week. We're in New Orleans next week for the Super Bowl, so it's coming up pretty soon here. If I had to guess, I would say there will be no trades, nothing big for the Rockets. You know, maybe they make a trade for a depth piece or something like that, but I would say no trades.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months. Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Dana Brown, let's shift gears, hit the Astros here. Dana Brown did a media availability yesterday on Zoom, and this is in the aftermath of the Ryan Presley trade. He gave some insight as to why this was a trade that made sense for the Astros.
As we build to compete in the present, we're also looking toward the future. And so when you get an opportunity to acquire a young arm like Juan Bello, you know, it's just a, you know, it's one of those opportunities that, you know, when you look down for starters toward the future, this guy's got a chance to be really good. He throws a lot of strikes. He can mix his pitches. You know, there's some upside to velocity. And so as we compete in the present, we're also building for the future.
Okay. You know how I felt about that cut earlier, Seth, when we played it. I'm like, and we saved $8.5 million off of our payroll in the process. Didn't say that, Dana, did you?
Yeah. Juan Bello, you got to, when you've got any chance to take a guy who's had, let's see, how many total? 22 games of experience in the minors over the last
years. In single A, yeah.
Yeah, and did some good things for Myrtle Beach last year.
Are you going to do an episode on the Seth Payne YouTube channel today, a deep dive on Juan Bello?
Mostly only as a way to think, to workshop different puns. I feel like it's a dollar store or something.
It's a
like
very
Five Below,
name.
But Juan Bello. Yeah.
That's good. That is a very punnable name.
Yeah, Juan Below Freezing. Yeah. If they're playing in the playoffs in a cold weather game.
Dude,
like, you got to take the guy who Juan Below Freezing, the freezing point, he's fine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Lopez is so angry that you got to that before he did. The Juan Below, I like
it,
that.
Anything to keep me from thinking about Forrest Whitley.
Talking
about the – I know. We're talking about – I've got him in the notes.
Oh, what was the cut? I got to go find the cut.
The relievers, with the loss of Presley.
Yeah.
Look, the relievers didn't do nearly as well as we thought they were going to do last year to begin with. And now you're looking at, okay, you got Abreu, you got Presley. You know, what does Sean Dubin turn into, I guess?
Taylor Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taylor Scott, I feel good about. I mean, Taylor Scott, he had the back injury, and he was starting to fall off before the back injury was probably, it wasn't that he was falling off, it was the heavy workload, and that might have been related to why he had the back injury. I assume he'll be fine. But yeah, the bullpen in total, I know, is that the next iteration? Is like, hey, everybody, just remember, keep holding your breath on Forrest Whitley. He could be used as a reliever, and hey, he got, 22 innings pitched last year.
All right,
woo!
Let's play that. Let's play the age-old game that everybody loves, the game that's sweeping the nation. Let's trigger Seth. Here's Dana Brown on the solutions in the bullpen.
You have guys like Van Wey, who you think could be, you know, make some type of impact at some point this year. You have the young guy in Whitley who's got power stuff. You know, you're looking forward for Whitley to take the big jump forward. You know, so we do have some young arms that we feel, you know, are coming as well. And ultimately, building this thing, you want these power arms on the back end. And you want to give these young players some opportunity. And, you know, we feel like this is a good time to do that.
Forrest Whitley's going into his 10th year in professional baseball.
He turns 28.
This will be his 10th year.
He turns 28 this season.
I think he turns 27.
No, he's 27 now. He turns 28 on September. I'm looking at his wiki page. September the 16th, he turns 28. Yeah.
Oh. Pro baseball. Okay. Pro baseball reference, getting that wrong. That's a rare one.
Well, maybe Wikipedia's got it wrong. Who cares?
Whatever
he's old.
It is. He's in his 10th year of professional baseball.
Right.
God, he's not young.
That was funny to me. That's what jumped out at me. That we got this young guy, Whitley, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, okay, that sounds familiar. Oh, no, wait, he's not young at all. Is there another Whitley that's in their organization that pitches?
I get frustrated that people aren't as frustrated with Forrest Whitley as they are with Lance McCullers, because Lance McCullers at least has done things for this organization.
I think that's why, though. I think it's two things. I think sometimes it's like no good deed goes unpunished. Like sometimes you're a victim of your own success. We've seen what he can do, and now he's unavailable. And we get upset about the unavailability, and we take it out on the player. And I think the number two thing is he's getting paid a lot of money to rehab all these injuries.
Right. Well, with Forrest Whitley, where I get frustrated is that he's still in the organization and they're still looking at upside. But half the time you hear about Forrest Whitley, it's for a problem of his own creation.
Yeah.
It's a suspension for substance. It's him showing up out of shape in the COVID season. That was the one that did it for me. Who was the coach that commented on it? Oh, it was
With the pitching coach, Strom.
I know I was blanking on Strom's name, and now I feel I'm gonna have to do penance for that afterwards. Strom basically said, "I don't know why Forrest Whitley showed up out of shape," and then nobody talks about it. And I'm looking around at like all these baseball people, and I'm like, I don't know. Is this what your sport is like? Are you this soft? Why are these baseball writers not making this a headline that Forrest Whitley, the guy who has already been a disappointment 5 years ago, shows up out of shape in the COVID year because he can't be trusted to work out on his own? Like, what am I? Why are you not making it? It was hidden in the middle of the article. By the way, Forrest Whitley showed up out of shape. On to other things. And then here he is 5 years later. No, I got no appetite for it.
See, I was only joking when I said it would trigger you. he's been better. He's been less fat and less suspended the last few years.
Well, fat by his standards, which still is like Ichabod Crane.
He got married and settled down. And
that'll make you fat.
He's become a better version of himself. I don't know why I'm talking myself into a guy who's going to be like a mop-up reliever at best. It's like a eat up innings arm in the bullpen.
Look, his most with Sugarland last year.
Yeah.
He had a 1.89 ERA.
Yeah, he was really good at Sugarland last year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can go watch him at Sugarland and dominate there. Seth, last I heard,
that was on 30 innings pitched.
People love
seeing it. It was a storybook 30-game stretch.
Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey,
oh wait, no, I'm sorry. That was 33.
Don't look up stats. Don't look up stats.
I will with Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
If you're trying to make an argument, if you're trying to cherry pick the little stints where he's actually been good, they're few and far between.
Here's the latest from Dana Brown on the Alex Bregman situation. Still discussing internally. And discussing. Ben's fine in the cut, so we've talked
internally about him still being available, and so we are definitely having conversations within our front office. We haven't reached back out to Boris. At some point, it could turn to that. I know that we're taking a deep look at what it would look like if we acquired him, and how would it look for us financially? Does it make sense to do it? We know that he's a talented player. We'd love to have him, but I would mostly say it's all internal conversations as to what we would like to do in terms of Bregman.
Would you rather give Bregman a long term deal at market value or Framber a long term deal at market value?
Framber.
You'd rather get Framber, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather get Framber. I don't even have to think, as long as it sounded like I had to think about that for that.
Yeah.
It's more value to your team. He's more consistent. I mean, Bregman's the ultimate professional, but Framber's previously a head case, but he's more consistent than Bregman. So, as far as the one part about that quote, though, is the fact that, all right, the way Dana talks about it, it was initially reported that the Astros reached out to Boris. I'm not 100% convinced that the Astros reached out to Boris. That sounds very much more like Boris came knocking, like, hey, we're still here, by the way. Totally doing great.
Yeah.
But, just in case, we got all kinds of suitors. But, we're still open to it.
Yeah, Dana,
I think the Astros are in the driver's seat on this one.
Dana Brown is not conducting himself like someone who's hyper-motivated to get Alex Bregman back here.
I'd honestly be surprised if the initial offer is still on the table the way it was reported. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
That the initial offer is still sitting out there on the table after they already made a lot of moves that make it harder for the Astros to make that initial offer.
All right.
And what's changed? Oh, the rest of the league doesn't like you as much as I guess we thought they would. So, I'm not. That something has changed.
Yeah.
We're not giving you that same offer.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Our good friend Ted Johnson. Remember Teddy J on the Triple Threat back in the day with me and Rich Lord? He is back on afternoons in Boston on our sister station WEEI. His hot take swing is in perfect form right now, Ted. And I think he legitimately feels this way too.
We'll have to evaluate that. I think he painted himself into a corner a little bit.
We will take a listen to something that our friend Ted Johnson said that has everybody up there up in arms right now. That is next.